Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing with Jeremy Jacobs, Episode 8, an overview of pay-per-click. I'm your host, Andy White. It's time once again for another exciting edition of Internet Marketing, where we give you insider tips and techniques and secrets on using the internet as part of your marketing machine. And we have with us today Jeremy Jacobs. Good day to you, sir.
Hello there.
And what are we talking about today, then?
We're going to be talking about pay-per-click, or pay-per-click advertising, which is a kind of flip side to a subject we spoke about earlier, or search engine optimization, or SEO. Just really having a look, a very brief overview at what it's all about and sort of what we need to understand about getting started with it.
Some very valuable information coming, so stay tuned, folks.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's start at the beginning, really. I mean, what's a good definition of PPC?
Okay, well, PPC, or pay-per-click, which sometimes you have to really pronounce it very carefully because it can be confused with pay-per-clip, which someone once asked me what I did, and I said pay-per-click management, and they thought I managed paper-clips, which is...
Okay, paper-clip as in a small metal thing that you use to keep paper together.
So you have to pronounce it very carefully. So pay-per-click, or PPC as it's referred to, as we'll refer to it today. But generally, it's advertising system used by the major search engines. Majority of search engines do use it, but the major search engines actually use this system. And essentially what it is, it's a revenue generating activity for the search engines, but it gives the anyone really an ability to advertise on search engines, essentially get themselves up to a sort of number one position for any search term, and really sort of, you know, increase their visibility on the search engines, and very easily, if we compare it to the likes of search engine optimization, which can be more tricky, pay-per-click is relatively easier. The only problem is that you have to pay for it, which is why it's called pay-per-click. And the important thing that we need to remember when thinking about it is that, you know, it's, you only pay when someone clicks on your advert. Okay, so in a sense, it doesn't actually cost you anything to be there. But every time someone clicks on your advert, you will actually be charged for it.
I mean, basically, I mean, as I understand it, if you're in Google, which I actually know, and I put in underpants,
right,
and I hit return, I'll get a load of organic searches on the left.
Yes.
And there are, sadly, loads of entries for underpants, which is quite surprising. But then over on the right, we have got all these sort of Ann Summers things and men's underpants, blah, blah, blah,
yes,
blah, blah. Smaller sort of box-like ads, and those are the pay-per-click, aren't they?
That's correct.
So basically,
yes,
somebody has paid Google to put those up there when somebody puts underpants as a search criteria.
That's correct.
In the search box.
Yeah, that's correct. We don't necessarily refer to it as being paid for there, because what we're actually doing, we're bidding to be there. It's very much similar sort of thing to think of eBay, the way we bid against something, you know, to get to to be the winner, so to speak. And the idea here is that we're bidding to become position number one or position number two, however, you know, whatever position we want to be in. But essentially, we're bidding to be there. As you correctly mentioned, the right-hand side, when we look at Google, for example, is where your ads are displayed. You will notice sometimes that ads are also displayed, or sponsored links, as they're referred to, are displayed at the top, and just above the organic results. A lot of people ask me,
I wonder what they were.
Yeah, why, you know, what they're doing there. Nothing really.
It's in a pale blue box just before any of the organic search results come.
That's correct.
There's sometimes more than one of them. There's sometimes a few of them.
Yeah, it can get up to three. I think it's up to three or four, depending on what search engine you're looking at. There's no real sort of secret or trick behind that. All that Google's doing is they've got a lot of competition for that particular keyword. So to increase the advertising space, they're shunting the adverts over to that site. So if you look at the very first sponsored link across the top in the blue bar, that's position one, yeah. two, three, and then position four would be over on the right-hand side moving down.
Oh, so it's simply the first four positions, is it?
That's correct.
And then the rest actually go down that right-hand
on
side
the right-hand
arm with you?
Side. Okay. So it's just it's
so
just
they
a way
are pay-per-click as well?
Yes, that's pay-per-click, or sponsored links as Google refers to them. So what everyone's doing there, all of those advertisers on that particular search term, is they're bidding against one another to become position number one. The more you pay, the higher you'll be listed. And of course, that can become quite expensive, which is one sort of downside to pay-per-click. As it becomes more popular, it's becoming much more expensive. To give you a rough estimation, an average sort of cost per click, when I first started doing it, was around, say, 20p. It's around about 40 to 50p now. Those costs can go up to anything up to £25 a click, which is very expensive. But those are for very competitive areas, such as credit cards, mortgages, things like that.
Okay. So, I mean, basically, I mean, I have played with pay-per-click.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with paper-clip, of course, as you said earlier. It's very easy to get them mixed up, isn't it?
It is.
And so you basically decide how much you want to bid. So basically, let me get this right. First of all, you sort of define some search phrases, do you?
You do. Or key,
what's the sort of procedure?
Well, what we first need to think about is what key phrases or keywords, two terms that are kind of mean the same thing, but we tend nowadays to think of key phrases, so two or three word phrases that people would type in.
Yeah.
The reason for that is around 50% of users now will type in three or more keywords when they actually search for something. So we now refer to that as key phrase. So we need to sit down and think about what key phrases people will be typing in to find our product or service. So that would be the first step, to actually go ahead and do some key phrase research and thinking about, you know, anything that anyone would type in. The key thing to remember about key phrase research with pay-per-click compared to search engine optimization is that you're not restricted. Okay, we can have hundreds or thousands of key phrases or keywords, and sort of spread them out as much as possible. Whereas search engine optimization, you're generally limited to, say, you know, two or three to a page on your website. So it's
because of course with search engine optimization you're limited, aren't you? But you've only got so much text and so many contacts. You can't get loads and loads of different phrases.
No.
I guess that's why individual pages have to be so specific, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. But with pay-per-click, we're not restricted by that. So we have this freedom to go ahead and create this wonderful long list of keywords. Depending on the size of your business, you know, that may vary. The average account will have between 500 to 5,000 keywords. Larger corporations, some of our clients will have around 50,000 keywords on one
That's
account.
That's huge.
It
so
is
somebody's,
huge.
Somebody's dreamt all them up and typed those in.
Exactly, which I have done as a job for 2 weeks. It was quite laborious, but it's worth it in the end.
I mean, is it worth doing research on these? Is it worth sort of seeing what people are searching for, or is it not so relevant with pay-per-click?
Absolutely, I think it is worth having a look, seeing what people are searching for, because it's not about. I don't think when you're thinking about, you know, research, you're not thinking necessarily about what areas. How many sort of keywords you're going to go for. It's again about being specific and targeting the right audience. We can think of keywords which are very generic and bring us in a lot of traffic. That may be great for some people, but we do want to target it down and make sure we're getting the right sort of people through. There's a number of ways you can do that. But the great thing with pay-per-click, for example, and keywords, is that you can use what are called negative keywords. We'll discuss this later on, probably in another episode about keyword matching.
Yeah.
But you can use these things called negative keywords. So what you're essentially saying is if someone types in a search term and their phrase or their key phrase contains this particular word, don't show my advert. Okay, so it's really, really good for making sort of very specific targeted campaigns, because just to give a very quick example, we had a client a while ago that was a t-shirt printing company, but they only wanted to focus in on large corporations.
Yeah.
Corporate sort of customers, and they wanted to avoid like small football clubs, you know, cricket clubs coming to them. So we used negative keywords such as cricket, football, you know, things like that. So that meant that the adverts actually didn't show up. Meant it was actually much more specific.
Yeah. Okay. So once you've selected your key phrases, what's the next step? Presumably designing designing the writing that's going to appear?
There's a number of stuff. I mean, the next stage is to make sure that you organise your keywords effectively. You have the ability with the the system to actually sort of specify which adverts are placed against which particular keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you organise your campaign effectively, so that when, say for example, someone types in, let's say for example you're selling secondhand cars, when someone types in used Ford Mondeo, for example, you have an advert coming up saying we sell used Ford Mondeos rather than we just sell used cars. Okay, uh-huh. The key is to make those adverts as specific to the user as possible. It means they're much, much likelier to click on you.
Because in one campaign, you can have loads and loads of different key phrases, but you can also have loads and loads of different texts that come up in the
adverts. You can, yes. It depends on the system and who you're using. But for example, with Google AdWords, you can actually specify what are called ad groups. So you put your keywords into ad groups, and then you specify the adverts against that one particular ad group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means that when someone types in that specific key phrase, it means that your advert actually comes up, and it means they're much likely to click on you. If your competitor, for example, does have a very generic advert, the chances are they're going to be clicking on you rather than your competitor. So that's probably the most critical thing to understand about setting up a pay-per-click campaign, is that you organise it effectively and get those keywords into ad groups, and then specify really sort of specific adverts against that particular ad group.
Okay. You get a whole big bunch of key phrases.
Yes.
And you have a slightly smaller bunch of the actual text that you want to appear in your advert.
Yes.
And presumably there's some degree of I mean, you mentioned before, how do you match the advert to the phrases? Are they grouped into the advert?
They are. So what we'll be doing, for example, with Google AdWords is taking our key phrases, mm-hmm. and putting them into ad groups, which will be sectioned off parts of your campaign. So you'll come into your campaign, you'll see a list of ad groups, you'll click on those ad groups, they'll take you down to the next level, which is where your actual keywords are.
Yeah.
Once you're in that area, you can actually specify the advert that goes against those keywords.
Okay.
So that one particular advert will only ever show up against those particular keywords. Say, for example, we're Amazon, for example.
Yeah.
We may have one ad group purely talking about keywords and adverts about DVDs, CDs, a separate one with CDs, another one with books. See what I mean?
When I used my usual joke word of underpants and put underpants into Google, if I look down the sponsored links, I mean, a good example here is I've got like one for a well-known store, but it just says like X% off your first order from our underpants range. So obviously the underpants was linked to the word underpants.
That's correct.
So they must have thousands of key phrases they've put in.
Yes, there are a number of tools that we'll be probably talking about in a more advanced podcast, which go beyond the scope of here. But there are some tools that you can use to sort of speed up that process and make it slightly easier. But I think for starting out, you know, let's just get in there and do it manually by hand. You learn a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And it's actually, you know, much better for you to do it like that, to actually just start somewhere.
Okay, so we've talked about these key phrases, we've talked about the text that goes in your advert. Mm-hmm. What else has to happen when you're setting this up?
Well, I think the important thing, Andy, to really talk about now is actually look at some of the phrases that are used within the sort of PPC world.
Yeah, some of the jargon. Yeah.
Some of the things that initially, you know, you will come across straight away and really, really important to just go through. I'm just going to run through sort of the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is actually a term called impressions, okay?
Yeah.
You will see this as a figure in your campaign results. results, impressions. And what this actually means is the amount, number of times that your advert has been served. I use the term served and not seen for a particular reason.
Yeah.
If you have a look on your screen, you'll probably notice that if you scroll down the page, you've actually got a number of adverts that are actually off the screen or maybe below the fold. Those adverts, as far as Google or Yahoo or MSN are concerned, have been served. They're on the page.
Yeah.
But it's chances are that the user hasn't actually seen that advert. Okay? So that's what we mean by impressions. The number of times the advert has actually been loaded up on a particular
page. Yeah. Okay.
Remembering that it's not always going to be seen. Okay.
Yes, I had to scroll to see some of mine. And interestingly, the list of these pay-per-click, these sponsored links, is shorter than the organic one. Did Google do that on purpose so that you're more likely to see all of them?
I think it's just the way, because you've got the ones at the top.
Yeah.
The three, maybe two or three at the top.
Oh, I see.
Like that.
Okay.
There's no particular reason for that. The next one is click-through rate, or what's referred to as the CTR. The click-through rate is, essentially, it's a percentage, and it's the percentage of people who have seen your advert and clicked on it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good indication of how relevant your advert is. Okay, if you've got a very high click-through rate, or CTR, it means that lots of people are clicking on your ads, you're very relevant to the users, so that's a good thing. And the CTR is a really good measurement of how well your campaign's performing.
So basically, if 100 people saw it and 50 of them clicked, you'd have a 50% CTR.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's correct. A good measurement of CTR, is around 2%. That's considered good. Anything above that is great. We've had campaigns that have been running at around 25% click-through rate, but they were very, very niche products and services.
Yeah.
But I think I would be fairly happy with 2 or 3% as a click-through rate for my campaign.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is average position. This average position gives you an indication of where you're actually sitting within your competitors. So remember we said position 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It will give you an average position of where you're sitting. The reason it's average is because people will be coming in, different competitors will be coming in.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The mix every time someone does a search, so your position will change slightly. It usually sits around the same sort of mark. We say that a average position of around 3 is the optimum position to be in. Reason is that if you're in position 1 all the time, you're going to be paying the most there. The actual difference in sort of click-through rate between sort of being in position 1 and position 3 is actually surprisingly small. And because you can find that sometimes position 3 will be significantly cheaper, it actually works out that being in position 1 isn't always the best.
Well, that's right, because the chances are you're still going to be visible without scrolling,
absolutely,
if you're only at position 3. So basically, if you saw that you were sort of constantly at position 1, so I mean presumably it would indicate that you might be paying too much.
Yes.
And you might want to lower your rates until you start going down to 2 or 3.
That's correct. Yes, we always aim for a position three. Interestingly, with Yahoo Search Marketing, you can actually see what position your net, you know, the top five bidders are paying. So you can actually see where you're sitting and how much you'd need to pay to be in the next position. It's actually sometimes been quite frequent that I've actually seen this. Position one, say, for example, paying £3.05 a click. Position two is paying £3.04 a click. Position three is paying 26p a click. Okay, so that's why it can sometimes be very, very effective. To stay in position three. And then the final sort of bit of jargon which we need to know, which actually is very closely linked to the average position, is maximum cost per click or maximum CPC. What this determines essentially is where you're going to be sitting. Okay, what we're saying with the maximum cost per click is I'm not willing to pay any more than this amount to be up on your listings.
Right.
And that's actually going to determine where you're sitting, because if you've got a competitor who's willing to pay more, then they're going to be ranking higher than you. So say, for example, we're in position one all the time. What we want to be doing is looking to lower our maximum CPC to actually bring our position down.
Right.
Okay? The one interesting thing about this is that that all of the advertising systems will always guarantee that you'll never pay a penny more than the next lowest competitor. Okay, so if I set a maximum CPC of, say, £1, and my competitor only sets it to, say, 55p, and I'm in position one, then I'll only ever pay 56p. Okay, I'll never pay that maximum.
Oh, okay.
So that's just a way of making sure that you don't actually overspend, you know, and you're not always paying that amount.
Oh, okay, I see. So it's a bit like eBay in that respect, isn't it? You say how much you're willing to pay. Mm. But you don't necessarily pay the whole... You just pay enough to beat the one that's you can beat, effectively.
So it's a good way of controlling your cost.
Well, that's very nice of
it
Google.
It is, isn't it?
It is very nice of Google.
And helpful.
How thoughtful.
Actually, just wanted to mention very quickly about them, talking about costs, etc. Because it is often a concern of people who come to us about how much they're going to spend. The key thing with all of these systems is you can control how much you are spending. Some people imagine that they'll have all these ads running all the time, people will be clicking on them, they'll run out of money, you know, or spend all this money. And there is also a daily budget which you do set on your campaign, which actually will stop running your ads after you've spent a certain amount. So you can set it, for example, to say £5-10 a day. Once you reach that budget, you'll actually stop. Your adverts will stop running, but you also stop incurring costs. So you do have complete control over how much you're actually spending there.
Is there a bit of an urban myth with this then, Jeremy? I mean, do a lot of people worry about pay-per-click for this reason? They're just not realising that you can control
it. Yes, they do. They do. They do.
So you often find yourself saying to clients, actually, it's not like that. It's like this.
Yes, exactly. They do sort of think that they're just going to have these ads, hundreds of ads running, and they're going to be running up this cost of, you know, hundreds of pounds a day. But we do reassure them that they are, you know, they are able to limit it by actually putting a daily budget in there.
Yeah.
So you do have control.
So just moving on, I mean, what are the reasons that someone would choose, you know, pay-per-click over SEO?
Well, there's a number of reasons. The main reason really is that, I mean, it's really easy and quick to set up. Okay, so say for example, I've people out there listening today never heard of pay-per-click before, and they think to myself, I want to have a go at this. I want to be at number one at Google for the word underpants. So I'm going to go off and do it. So, I mean, with, for example, Google AdWords, I can be up in number one position for the word underpants within, say, the next 10 minutes. I'd have to pay the price to be there, but whatever that cost is. But that's the key thing. You can get yourself up on those search engines within a matter of minutes. And actually,
so it's immediacy, isn't it?
It's very, very quick turnaround. What we essentially say is that pay-per-click is the short-term solution. SEO or search engine optimization is the long-term solution. And a lot of advertisers will use pay-per-click to bring that initial traffic in whilst SEO is building up. Most of the time, they actually continue to run the both together, particularly for a very competitive keyword, which they may not be able to get up against purely using SEO alone. The other thing which we have mentioned earlier is that there's the ability to have many more keywords. So, for example, you know, 500 to 5,000 is the average sort of campaign number of keywords. We can go above that. I think Google AdWords sets a limit of 50,000 keywords per account. So, you know, you've got up to that, essentially. So you can kind of go a bit crazy with your keyword research, and you don't have to limit yourself as where you would with SEO. We've got complete control over our, you know, our ads, our ad copy. So everything that comes up, what we're saying about our advert, we've got complete control over. With SEO, sometimes Google will create its own little description of your website based on, you know, the information it gathers. We don't have complete control over that, but with the ad copy we do. We can really, really be specific about what we're saying, what we're selling ourselves about on the search engines. And then the final thing really is, and quite interesting, is we're protected against ranking algorithms. So what those are the way that Google actually decides how its natural listings are going to be ordered, who's going to be in position one. And if you've listened to our search engine optimization podcast, you'd hopefully be familiar with these terms of this algorithm. And what Google and the other search engines tend to do is they tend to completely change the way that they look at these listings, and it throws everyone off course, and all the SEO professionals get very upset, and, you know, it all goes into disarray. Of course, that's all happening on the natural side, but everyone who's advertising on the pay-per-click side is completely ineffective. You know, there's no sort of influence over the way that Google looks at its natural listings as to how it actually looks at its pay-per-click listings. So that can be a really good advantage as well.
Actually, that just made me think, there's one thing we didn't mention is, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's very important, isn't it, which actual page you make these adverts link to?
Yes.
And you have to have landing pages, don't you?
That's correct, yes.
A special landing page?
When we're actually specifying the advert, when we're actually creating the advert, it will ask us, you have what's called a destination URL and a display URL. The display URL, you'll always just use your standard URL that you may maybe put on your business card. But with your destination URL, we can actually, what we call, deep link people into our site, okay? So let's go back to the example of us selling CDs and DVDs. Within our CD ad group, we're going to be linking all of our ads through to our CD page. Again, with our DVD, we want to be linking people through to their DVD page. Essentially, the idea is just take the user to the furthest possible point within your site so they don't have to search. They click on your advert talking about CDs. There's your range of CDs sitting in front of them, rather than having to go through your homepage. So, I mean, thinking about pay-per-click, you'll very rarely actually want to be linking through to your homepage unless you're using very generic sort of keywords that are talking just generally about your company.
Yeah. Okay, so what advice would you give someone starting out in pay-per-click?
Well, I don't think we've actually mentioned the sort of the major suppliers of pay-per-click out there. There are three. There's Google, Yahoo Search Marketing, or as it's starting to be referred to now as YSM. And then very, very recently, literally within the past few weeks, MSN have just launched MSN Ad Center. Okay. Ooh. So three different big players. There is another company called Meva. Some people do find that quite a good sort of PPC supplier. We haven't, to be honest, in the past had much success with it, but I wouldn't rule it out as an option. So we've got our three major ones, Google, Yahoo, and MSN. The key thing, you know, when thinking about starting out is thinking, okay, well, who am I going to start with? My advice to everyone would be to just concentrate on one, okay? Get in with one of them. Maybe go and sign up with them. Have a look at the way their systems work and see which one you're most comfortable with. Get in there with one of them. Get established and really sort of, you know, get to grips with it before you start moving on to any of them. Don't try to master all three at once, I think is key. But once you've decided which one you're actually going to go with, I think about starting small, okay? Don't run in and start setting up a huge campaign, because it will get out of control very, very quickly. You know, pay-per-click campaigns do need a lot of maintenance, unfortunately. They're like a newborn baby, if you will. They do need a lot of care and attention. Some people seem to think that they can just leave them and let them run. That isn't the case. So start small, maybe just with one campaign, maybe just promoting one product or service. Build up your confidence, you know, and get familiar with the terms, the way the system works, its quirks, things like that. And then you can start to look at actually expanding outwards within, say, for example, Google. And then, you know, and then move on to, you know, trying it out with Yahoo and with MSN is really, really key to actually getting started out. And don't think about running too far. I did say that, you know, the average account will have between 500 and 5,000 keywords. But again, just start small, be specific, and make sure that you get your ad group set up so you get all your keywords and those adverts really, really specific against those particular key phrases.
Sage advice indeed.
Yes.
What about feedback? How can you check that the system is working for you?
Well, they all have, particularly Google and Yahoo Search Marketing, do have really good reporting functions. So you can go in and actually run reports. You can even set them up to email you weekly reports to actually monitor your performance, get a lot of information out. One key thing we haven't mentioned so far, and I just wanted to mention, is also conversion tracking. Okay, a free service that's offered by all of them. And what essentially this is doing is tracking, once people have clicked on your advert, if they're actually doing anything and buying anything on your site. So say, for example, Google AdWords, you do actually have the opportunity to fire, set up what they call conversion points on your site, up to 5. So what you do is you place this piece of code or JavaScript onto your site. When someone comes onto your site and actually makes a purchase or maybe fills out a contact form, it'll actually send a message back to your AdWords account saying this person bought something. And that actually lets you track whether people are actually buying. And again, something which I would strongly recommend you set up the minute you set your
account up. Now, this sounds very similar to the Google Analytics goals function. But it's separate, isn't it? Is this a separate thing?
It is, but funny you should mention that. They're very closely linked. Google AdWords and Google Analytics, which is the previous episode we were talking about, have a very, very close relationship now in that you can intertwine the two. And these conversion goals that you have are exactly the same as what they are for Google AdWords conversion tracking. So what we're doing is we're thinking about what areas do we want to track people doing things on our site. Majority of the time it's going to be on a confirmation or thank you page on a checkout process so that you can be sure that someone's actually purchased something from your site. Some people put them on contact forms, feedback forms, you know, you can put them essentially anywhere. And what it will do is actually tell you whether or not someone's actually purchased something. And I think that's really critical to making sure that your Google AdWords campaign's actually working for you.
Yes.
Because anyone can come onto a search engine and click on a link. If we don't have our conversion tracking set up, then we don't know what they're doing. And as far as we're concerned, they could have bought, they couldn't have. And I think that's really key to understanding that, you know, your campaign is actually working for you.
So do you think it's worth, if someone's got a Google AdSense campaign running, do you think it's worth them signing up for Google Analytics?
I think it is, totally. I mean, as I said, you can intertwine the two quite well. Now that Google Analytics is free, for anyone, you know, it's always been free, but it was kind of restricted in how many people could sign up for it. It's definitely worth getting Google Analytics on your site because it actually adds an extra level of analytics, I suppose, to your site in that you can now start to track where people have gone to buy, you know, what path they followed to actually purchase, rather than just saying, yes, they've bought something, okay? So I think that's a really, really key thing to do.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
No problem.
So we've basically covered the essence of Google AdWords.
Yes.
And basically how you set it up.
Yes, I think.
How it runs and how you can make sure it's working for
you. Absolutely.
And that's really great information. Thank you very much.
No problem, thank you.
So, Jeremy, what are we covering next week?
Next week, Andy, we'll be looking at affiliate marketing. Which is a fairly similar thing or idea behind pay-per-click, and got some lots of lovely information and tips for you next week on that.
Well, I certainly look forward to that. Well, that's it for this week's show, and thank you for listening to this 8th episode. Oh, we're 8. we would really love to hear from you. We know that we've got listeners out there, you know, so we really would like to hear from both of you. If you've got any questions or comments that you'd like featured on the show, send them in to info@academyinternet.com. Is that right, Jeremy?
Correct, Andy, yes.
And if you want to make your questions into an MP3 file and send that along, as long as it's not too big, we would be quite happy to put that in the podcast as well. And if you're a subscriber, that's fantastic. We'd like to thank you for doing that. But if you haven't and you'd like to subscribe and have this podcast delivered to your earbuds automatically,
You can find us on Internet Marketing on iTunes. If you go into the iTunes podcast directory and just search on Internet Marketing, or you can go to the academyinternet.com or the summitsolutions.co.uk websites and follow the subscriptions buttons. And finally, we would love to hear comments. So if you want to make a comment on the show, go into iTunes and feel free to leave a comment, hopefully a good one. So that's it. I'm Andy White. Have a fantastic week. That's goodbye from me and Jeremy. See you next time on Internet Marketing. Internet Marketing was brought to you by summitsolutions.co.uk.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.